Well, after a bad loss in Chicago on Saturday, the Heat escaped Detroit with a win on Sunday that was much closer than the final score looked. Can the Heat finally start building on these wins, or with just 9 games left in the season, is time simply running out? All of that and much more coming up on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg, going solo without my usual co-host, David Ramil, today. Thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day and for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 using the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Well, the Heat beat the Pistons by 12 points, 112 to 100 on Sunday. But if you watched this one, you know that this was not a blowout or even a comfortable win. I'm going to get to credit cookies in a minute. We'll talk about Kevin Love maybe replacing Omer Yurtseven as the backup center in a few minutes as well. But to get back to the game, it took a 13-2 run over the final 5 minutes to come back from 4 points down. Jimmy Butler entered halfway through the fourth quarter, took control of the game, finally started scoring. Tyler Hero scored 10 points over the final 3 minutes and 20 seconds. The Pistons didn't make a field goal over the last 4:20. So the Heat get a win. A win's a win. Second night of a back-to-back against the worst team in the NBA, whatever. But you could tell that the losses are still bothering this team. Not that they lost tonight, but that loss in Chicago and several losses before in the season still bothering this team. After the game, Bam Adebayo, asked by the broadcast about the win, he immediately goes to Saturday's loss in Chicago, clearly still bothered by it. And he was even bothered about the fact that this game was so close. Instead of talking about the win and how they got out, how they kind of muscled it out at the end, focuses on the slow start, criticizes his own team for those slow starts, and says that they can't keep putting themselves in those kinds of situations. Now, maybe you heard that on the broadcast, you're watching it on TV, and you thought, all right, whatever. Typical athlete, cliche, non-answer. And that's kind of what it sounds like. But I'm just telling you, being around this team, I really do believe it when Bam says that they need to find ways to build on it and to be, you know, sometimes these athletes are like overly self-critical and like the way that they're kind of fake humble sometimes. And that you look at the quotes and they kind of read that way. But when you hear them and when you're around this team and you talk to these guys and stuff, like I really do think that there are frustrations. And it's not just sort of this humble, fake thing that they're doing that athletes so often do, but when Bam says and focuses on the negatives, I think they're focusing on the negatives because there's been so many bad losses that this team has on its record. When they look at their record, they know that they should be in a lot better position, right? There's probably 11 or 12 bad losses this season, including the Saturday one against the Bulls. And for a while, it looked like this was going to be another bad loss, that this game in Detroit, a Pistons team that is literally trying to lose games this year in order to get a better draft pick and was without some of its best players. No Bojan Bogdanovic, who crushed the Heat the last time these teams played. No Alec Burks, who's been pretty good for them as a veteran. Like, this is a very bad Pistons team. And I know it's the second night of back-to-back and all that, but this team stinks and there's no reason it should have been this close. So when I said before a win's a win, I was kind of being facetious because clearly it's not, right? Bam said after the game, I'll just give you the quote here. We got to start building off of this. We got to really start buying into this, man. Like, we've heard enough of stuff like that where guys like Bam and Jimmy have said, you know, there's not enough attention to detail. These guys don't care. There's, you know, I don't know if there's a sense of entitlement in that locker room based on the fact that they were the one seed last year and they thought it was just going to be easier. But whatever this team is not buying into, I don't know that we can come away from this win and say, yeah, they're obviously buying into this because the Pistons are so bad that it shouldn't have been this close in the first place. I know they won by 12, but I'm telling you, if you watch this game, you know that this game was not a 12-point game, right? The Pistons just couldn't score a field goal in the last 4 minutes, and Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler went off, and that's great, and it's cool to see, and it's great that Tyler can have that, whatever, short memory, killer instinct, whatever kind of cliche that you want to use, but actually be able to go out there and do that. And by the way, he's been doing this for about a week now. He's just going out after basically not shooting well for 3 quarters and going out in the fourth quarter and just starts making shots and making some of the biggest shots of the game. So all that's great, but you should have won this game by more. All right. And so when Bam says, we got to start building off of this, we really got to start buying into this, that's Bam looking around the locker room, looking around the court saying, hey, why are we still playing games like this? Why are we still having to win these clutch games against bad teams? There's 9 games left in the season. We need to start getting into playoff mode. And if you're barely beating the Pistons, right, at this point in the season, it is hard to look around and think that this team is anywhere near where it wants to be, where it needs to be, right? Like, the frustrating thing is that sometimes it looks like they're turning the corner, like it did last week. Back-to-back wins against Utah and Memphis. Again, Memphis was without a bunch of their good players. No John Morant. Utah traded a bunch of their good players at the deadline, and they've not been great since the All-Star break. But it looked like they were starting to turn a corner. We got on this show and started. They were shooting 40% from three. Jimmy Butler was, you know, on the scoring binge and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, playoff Jimmy is activated. Maybe they're finally starting to positively revert back to the mean in terms of three-point shooting percentages and all this stuff. And maybe we are starting to turn a corner. And then they have that bad loss against the Bulls, almost this bad loss against the Pistons. I mean, could you imagine what would have happened if they didn't go on that run at the end of this game and Detroit ended up winning? They were down by 4 with 5 minutes left, right? The Pistons could have easily have won this game. If the Heat would have dropped both games this weekend, man, I mean, that would have been the most frustrating weekend of the season. So look, I get it. The wins aren't going to matter, right? A win is not a win at this point. The wins are not going to matter, even though they need them to get to the playoffs, right? They need them to get into the postseason, maybe even get out of the play-in tournament. But if they get to the playoffs and they're still playing like this, they're going to get eliminated quickly. This is a team that would get swept by the Celtics or whoever it would be in the first round. Now we're just delaying the inevitable, right? Because this team playing like this does not have a chance, even if they're able to kind of had some wins here against bad teams and kind of get lucky on a night like tonight. Cool, man. Like, maybe you're a game within the sixth seed now. Maybe you're able to get out of the play-in tournament, but like this team's got no shot if they're playing like this. So did Bam mean what he said when he said we need to build off of this? Did he mean all of what I just said? Probably not literally, but I'm telling you what it means, and this team knows it. We're going to do credit cookies next, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All you have to do to play is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they're going to score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10x your money on any entry. And the best part, no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, the WNBA, so much more, anything you can think of. And entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up today to play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, PrizePicks is going to give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50, and so on and so forth. You can figure that out. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. It's PrizePicks, daily fantasy made easy. Well, it's a Heat win, which means it's time to get in the kitchen and whip up some credit cookies. And I'm going to turn to Instagram for the inspiration behind what kind of cookies we're going to hand out. Jimmy Butler visiting during this trip, the Detroit Cookie Company. Again, this is according to Jimmy Butler's Instagram. So I looked it up. These M&M cookies, they look pretty great. Loaded with a ton of, like, there's probably 100 M&Ms in a single cookie. They're kind of like that thick cookie. I would imagine probably a chewy interior situation there happening. And then it looked like, again, like 100 M&Ms in every bite. So they had that. They had like the Reese's Pieces, something with like chocolate chips or something. I don't know. The M&M ones look great. I love an M&M cookie. I'm kind of a child like that. But we're going to go with the M&M cookies from Detroit Cookie Company. We're going to start there with Jimmy Butler. Weird Jimmy Butler game. A weird Jimmy Butler game, not going to lie. He took just 2 field goals in the first half. All right, there was a moment in this game where Rodney Magruder had 4 times as many field goal attempts as Jimmy Butler. And I know he got to the line a bunch and stuff like that. So if you kind of take the scoring opportunities and all, like the first half, he was still between trips to the free throw line and actual field goal attempts, there was still only 10 scoring opportunities for Jimmy Butler in the first half. And that was still less than what Rodney Magruder had in the first half. So just a weird kind of passive Jimmy Butler game, the broadcast kind of egging him on a little bit like, hey, you know, they're going to need him to do a little bit more here. credit to the Pistons defense. I thought they actually did a pretty good job of, all right, we're just going to wall off the paint. You're not going to get to the rim. We know that's what you want to do. You're Jimmy Butler. You're Bam Adebayo. You're the Miami Heat. We know you want to get to the basket. And to be honest, we don't believe that your guys' three-point shooting is all that great, despite the back-to-back wins and the 40% that you just shot last week. So they dared Miami shooters to shoot. The Heat took like 33 three-point attempts, something around there, I think, in the first three quarters. So they were getting those shots up, all right? But they weren't making a whole lot of them until later in the game. So that was the strategy, and Jimmy Butler basically saw that. He was a little passive. He kind of played into it a little bit. The Pistons, quite frankly, dictated the terms of engagement in this one for the first 3.5 quarters, basically. Then Jimmy Butler comes in with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he scores 10 points after that. All right? Scores 10 points after that, has a huge assist to Tyler Hero for a three-point. He actually got an offensive rebound off of his own miss, then kicked it out to Tyler, who made that huge three-pointer that had let the Heat take the lead there late in the game. So I mean, what's he finished with in this game? I mean, it's crazy. Like he could be that passive and then finish with 26 points on 11 shots and 11 free throw attempts. He had 10 assists in this game, 4 rebounds. So a double-double for him with 26 points and 10 assists, only one turnover. And so a weird game, because you look at that and at the end, like, you're like, this guy was totally in control of this thing. That you look at that stat, so efficient, borderline masterpiece kind of a game. And yet for three quarters, you're like, why aren't you doing more? So I'm not really sure what to make of this game from Jimmy Butler. It felt like if he was a little less passive early, that maybe this could have been a comfortable win for the Heat. But it's hard to knock a guy that has that box score and has that performance in the last 6 minutes and comes in and just completely changes the tone and takes control of the game. And the Heat go on that 13-2 run, and that's because of Jimmy Butler. So again, hard to knock a guy, but it's also hard to give him like a bunch of these M&M cookies. So I'm just going to go with two. I'm going to go two M&M cookies for him. It's probably not enough, honestly, but I can't escape like those first three quarters and just being like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I know the Pistons drew up a good game plan, but you're Jimmy Butler and they're the Pistons. So I'm going to go with two cookies. I'm probably wrong. You guys can attack me or you know, disagree with me, I guess, in the comments if you want, but I'm just going to go with two for Jimmy Butler. All right, Tyler Hero, I'm also going to give him two cookies, M&M cookies here. Tyler Hero, another weird game. All right, so we're going to just knock out the two weird game guys right away. 19 points, this is his final box score. 19 points on 17 shots, had 6 rebounds, 4 assists in 34 minutes. But I think he missed all his first 9 three-point attempts in this game and then made 3 of them in like the last 5 minutes of this game. It's same thing as Jimmy Butler. Tyler scored 10 points. 10 points over the final 3 minutes and 20 seconds. So as big a reason as anything, and then Spoelstra after the game saying, this guy's got the killer instinct. I'm just going to starts talking something about on all my notepads for Tyler, I'm just going to write fourth quarter on him so that he plays like that in every quarter or something. He said something like that. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and maybe butchering it. But, this fourth quarter Tyler Hero thing is crazy. And on one hand, I love it, right? Because you love a guy who can just shoot like garbage for three quarters. And I actually didn't think his shooting selection was bad. Sometimes Tyler Hero's nights where, like, it's pretty much like a direct thing. Like, okay, the shot selection is bad, and then the box score is bad for him. But tonight, I actually thought, there was like one shot there where I didn't like it. He passed up a three-pointer that was open and kind of dribbled into a mid-range thing. He's good for like one of those every night, every time the Heat play. But other than that one shot, I actually liked the shot selection from him. The shots just weren't going in, and then the fourth quarter comes around, and then just boom. Like, the guy just starts making fast decisions. I think maybe that's what it is, honestly. Like, now I'm sort of talking myself into it. Like, when it's go time, just a couple minutes left in the game, and you can't just kind of diddle around with the ball and all that. Like, you just have to take shots when they're open. I think that's why he thrives in those moments, because I think Tyler Hero gets into the most trouble when he starts messing around with the basketball and he's not making those fast decisions. But when he just gets the ball and shoots it, he's as good as anybody, right? And so that's what he's doing at the end of these fourth quarters, and I think it's really helpful. And if he could find a way to do more of that the first three quarters, I think you could start seeing way better box scores for him. And maybe, again, same thing as Jimmy, maybe not have to play so many of these clutch games. All right, Tyler Hero gets two of them. I'm going to give Kyle Lowry two of them as well. I think you might be able to see where this is going, by the way. Two to Kyle Lowry. The box score itself isn't crazy if it jumps off the page, but like I keep saying, kind of the theme of this one is it's really hard to judge this game by looking at the box score. This is really one of those games where you got to watch it to see who had the biggest impact on this one. Not going to lie, not all basketball games are like that. Sometimes you can get a pretty good feel for a game just off the box score. But if we are looking at the box score, the giveaway stat for Kyle Lowry is plus 28. That was his plus minus. It was best on the team, best in the game out of anybody that played in this one. 25 minutes, closed the game. The Heat have not been letting Kyle Lowry close games as they're sort of managing his minutes. He usually comes out with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He plays about 20 minutes a night. He was at 20 minutes with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter tonight. And Spo wrote him. He said, you know what? I'm not taking you out. And he ended up playing 25 minutes in the game. 7 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, nothing crazy. Or I'm sorry, 6 rebounds, so 7, 6, and 6 for him. Nothing crazy. But his impact was tremendous. And it's big also because Lowry didn't play the first night of this back-to-back against Chicago on Saturday. They had him tonight. And he did what he had to do. And what he has done basically over the last week in kind of owning the six-man role, running that second unit, comes in at the end of the first quarter, plays most of the second quarter. And they just seem so much more in control. And then because he got those extended minutes and closed the game, we saw even more time with him on the court with Jimmy and Bam and Tyler. Kind of seeing that, and also Caleb, who also closes these games, plays like every second of the fourth quarter now. So kind of back to the old starting lineup, right, to close the game. And I thought Kyle Lowry was tremendous. So 2 cookies to him, 2 cookies to Kevin Love, which is half the amount of stitches that he ended up with on in his head after taking a chin from Jalen Duren to his forehead, to his temple in this game. And he looked like Rambo, like coming out of the forest. Just blood just dripping down his head nonstop. They kept putting towels on it. He had to try. He got fouled. He got called for the foul. So I actually had to go take free throws in order to stay in the game, and like couldn't do it because literally the blood would not stop pouring from his face. It was crazy. His blood. There was one point where he tried to actually go back in the game, and they put a bunch of towels on it and tried to patch it up and die and kind of pat down the head and clean up the jersey. And he takes like 4 steps onto the court. And just blood just starts streaming back down onto the white Heat jersey that he's wearing. And there's just blood all, and like that white Heat jersey ended up at the top of it starting to look like the red colorway that they sometimes will wear. So obviously he didn't finish the game. He was available to come back. He finished the game because he was available to come back. He didn't make, so whatever. Gets the 4 stitches, goes back, gets the 4 stitches, ends up playing 23 minutes in this one, 12 points, 8 rebounds, a couple of assists. Again, box score doesn't jump off the page for you. He was even a -8 in the box score, but I thought his minutes were really good. I thought they were really active, especially in that first half before he started bleeding profusely from every, you know, from his head. So I thought it was a really good game from him. Had a couple big plays, had a great assist where he found Jimmy Butler on a ghost cut right under the basket. Detroit just like, those were the shots that Jimmy Butler got, was when like the 2 field goals he made in the first half were when he cut baseline and the Pistons just forgot he existed and just, he was wide open. So it wasn't even Jimmy Butler muscling through that wall that they were trying to build. It was just him being open and Kevin Love finding him. So good game for Kevin Love. Shout out for the toughness on there. 4 stitches, 2 cookies. Good night for him. Caleb Martin had 2 cookies. He's going to get 2 of these M&M cookies as well. Kind of same thing in terms of Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love. Big minutes off the bench for Caleb Martin. 30 minutes, had 13 points on 10 shots, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. I thought he was awesome, man. I mentioned Kyle Lowry's plus minus best on the team. Guess who was second? It was Caleb Martin, plus 25. Big, a part of both of their big runs. The Heat had a run in the first half. They obviously had the game-winning run in the second half. Caleb Martin was on the court for both of those runs. So nothing really new on Caleb Martin, right? But it's just all the energy, the steals, the rebounding, the activity. His defense tonight was awesome, guarding everybody. He was on Killian Hayes. He was on Jaden Ivey. He was switching onto the bigs. He was doing a great job. Classic Caleb Martin night. He gets 2 cookies. And so that's it. Those are our 10 M&M cookies from the Detroit Cookie Company. I mentioned Kevin Love there. Best stretch in a Heat jersey tonight, I thought, at least. We also saw some new lineup decisions by Eric Spoelstra. I'm going to tell you what they were and if we might see them continue as we go forward this season. But before we get to that, today's episode is brought to you by Nissan's most electric player of the week. It's brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. And our player of the week, should not be a surprise, is Jimmy Butler. Here's what he's averaged since last Sunday. 24.3 points on 55% shooting, 6.8 rebounds, 5.3 assists, and 1.8 steals. He's playing as well as anybody in the league outside of maybe Joel Embiid right now. He's the reason why the Heat are winning, right? When you look, I know, again, Chicago loss is bad, frustrating tonight, frustrating. But when you just look at the W's, the Heat have still won a lot of games recently. They have won 6 of their last 9 games, and they're within now a game of the 6th seed Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are sliding. The Heat are frustratingly but slowly climbing, right? They're still in this thing. They still have a chance to escape the play-in tournament, and that is because of Jimmy Butler being as close as we're going to see to playoff Jimmy in the regular season. So he's been brilliantly fierce, fiercely elegant, stunningly powerful when you talk about him getting to the free throw line, or you can use all those words to also talk about the Nissan Ariya. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin to your seat power and premium intelligence all-in-one EV, the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. Today's episode of Locked On Heat is brought to you by Built Bar, and Built Bar March Madness is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now it's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You'll know I'm going to be voting for the cherry flavor, the cherry that's covered in chocolate. I love it. It's simple. Built has a bunch of crazy flavors like churro and all these other things that I'm not even sure how they make them taste like that, but they do. But I'm still just a sucker for the simple. Like, give me strawberry covered in chocolate, cherry covered in chocolate, something like that. Fruit covered in chocolate is it's easy for me, or peanut butter flavored anything. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff too. I'm going to be voting for those. And if you want the Heat to win, then you're going to be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, then you're going to be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners are going to get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan is going to win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You've got to try Built if you haven't already. Built is the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're amazing. You're not going to think they're good for you because of how great they taste, but trust me, they are. They're perfect for a post-workout snack or just when you're on the run between meetings, something like that. It doesn't get better than these. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? For starters, they're all high in protein, low in sugar, covered in 100% real chocolate. Real chocolate, all right? So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram, email us, LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Make sure that you are subscribed on Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you're listening. We're going to get to our listener questions. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions using the hashtag AskLOHeat. This one comes from Brian, who writes in, why did Spo only play Yurt for 4 minutes off the bench? And can we expect Kevin Love at the five more going forward? Excuse me there. Why did Spo only play Yurt for 4 minutes off the bench? So let's start kind of a two-part question here. We're going to start with the first part. So he played, 3 minutes and 42 seconds tonight. Omer Yurtseven played. Came off the bench as Bam's backup. Cody Zeller's still out with a broken nose. He should be back probably sometime this week, or at least available. Probably wearing a face mask at that point, but still not available for this one. Orlando Robinson, not with the team because he missed a plane or something. So not available, and also on the two-way contract, they haven't been using him. And they have been using Omer Yurtseven because he's been available. But we've seen the leash on Omer get shorter and shorter, and tonight it was as short as I've seen it ever with Yurt. He got pulled earlier this week in a game. I think the Memphis game, he got pulled early in that game, didn't come back. Spo starts going with Haywood Highsmith, and for that one, it was the foul trouble early. He got like 3 fouls in the first quarter, and then Spo goes to Haywood Highsmith, rather, off the bench, starts playing some small ball lineups. We saw like seconds, minutes here and there of Kevin Love at the five, but nothing really extended with him in those spots. Tonight, kind of a different story. Omer Yurtseven gets pulled, not because of the foul trouble, but he was a -3 in 3 minutes and 42 seconds, which isn't that bad. It's basically just 1 3-pointer. But Spo saw something that he did not like from Omer Yurtseven. Now, is it personal thing with Yurt, or is it more of, hey, going back to what I was saying earlier about the Pistons' defense, they're trying to build a wall. We're not going to be able to get into the paint. You know what? Let's take Yurt out of the game. Let's go small. I kind of like the small ball look that we got to last week. Let's go Haywood Highsmith. Let's go Kevin Love at the five and try to go five out and try to space out this Pistons defense. That might have been it. But I was a little surprised that we didn't see Omer at all for the rest of the game. He played just that first 3 minutes, and that was it. We didn't see him again. So what's the deal with that? I don't think it's Dwayne Dedmon bad right now, but I think he's got a short leash. And if Spo doesn't like what he's seeing from Yurt, it's mostly on the defensive end there. I think some of it has to do with maybe the shot selection. I don't know. Whatever it is, he's on a short leash. Spo is going to be like, you know what? If I don't like what I see in the first 3 or 4 minutes, I'm going to call a timeout. I'm taking you out, and you're not going to play again. So that's where we're at. In terms of Kevin Love at the five, I do think we'll see it more, because even if it was sort of, all right, we got to space out this Pistons defense, the Pistons aren't the only team doing this game plan, right? Everybody knows what they need to take away from the Heat. They need to take Jimmy Butler away from getting to the basket. That's what they got to do. So this isn't rocket science, right? So if Spo is trying to go small to sort of space out defenses and create more space for Jimmy and Bam to get to the basket, well, this is a way to do it. And I know Omer Yurtseven wants to shoot threes, and he thinks he could play next to Bam because he can shoot the threes. I know he makes them in practice and all these things, and we've seen glimpses of it in preseason and stuff like that, and we've heard stories from training camp of them working together and all that stuff, but we just haven't seen it right now this year. And bottom line is, nobody respects him out there at the three-point line anyway. Like, that's not on the scouting report for opponents, even if Omer Yurtseven thinks that he can make it and wants to think and wants other teams to think that he can make it. He just has no track record of that at the NBA level, so it's not on the scouting report. And if it's not on the scouting report, if he's out there by the three-point line, teams are just going to ignore him, right or wrongly. They're just going to ignore him, and now you're not creating any space for your offense. So just because you think you can make it, maybe even if you can make it, if it's not on the scouting report and teams aren't reacting to you as a three-point shooter, then it doesn't really matter if you make them or not, okay? Because if the whole point of it is to create space for Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you're not doing that, right? Omer Yurtseven's not going to go out there and make 12 three-pointers and win a game from the three-point line. That's not going to ever happen. So with that being said, Spoelstra shifting into some small ball units in order to create that space. I think when teams see somebody like Haywood Highsmith at the five, they just automatically react in a way of, hey, that's a small ball group over there. We got to respond to their offense in that way, right? Even if I think Haywood Highsmith is a better three-point shooter than Yurtseven, at least in terms of the amount of threes he's made over his career in the NBA. But even if he wasn't, opponents are going to react to him as if he was. All right. So I think I'm explaining that right. I hope I am. I hope I'm making my point. So there's that. And then obviously, if you go Kevin Love at the five, it's Kevin Love, and everybody respects him from three-point range, even though he hasn't been shooting it great since coming over to Miami, or really all season since the thumb injury. He's still Kevin Love. He's still going to be a future Hall of Famer. He still won a championship because he was able to space the floor around Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. So it's Kevin Love. They're going to respect him. You go to him at the five. He also brings all the playmaking and all the stuff from there. And I thought his defense was actually pretty good tonight against the Pistons. So I don't think you're losing anything, right? I think the Heat are a little frustrated with the inconsistencies with Yurtseven's defense. And Kevin Love he's not Bam Adebayo defensively, right? He's not out there doing that. But I don't think he's worse than Omer Yurtseven. When you take everything into consideration, the basketball IQ, him knowing where he needs to be. I think the broadcast said today he's fourth in the league in drawn charges, which is not something I realized. So he's good at drawing the charges and all that kind of stuff. So he's probably better for you defensively right now than Omer Yurtseven is. So when you talk about the lineups that are going to work and what they're trying to get to offensively and trying to get Jimmy and Bam in space, Kevin Love at the five, and even to a different degree, a lesser degree, Haywood Highsmith at the five, is just helping them more that right now than Omer Yurtseven is. Maybe it changes when Cody Zeller comes back, but I do think that we could see Kevin Love at the five. Maybe it's a little bit more matchup dependent, but I do think we'll see it more regularly going forward and possibly even in the playoffs. That'll do it for us today. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.